To add to that, the general manager and I are not starting to have a look. It's on the car that the toilet arrives. It's when they're towing then the corrugations and the potholes for the buildings. And there's one or two little bobby areas that if you're towing a van, then you can actually get away from the
We have a request of leave of absence from the Chancellor of the Federal Council. He would like to the council meetings in December, February, and March. The council is prepared to say here that a motion be moved to give Frank Council meetings in leave of absence from those three councils.
We've also got Councillor Ian Wilson's in training. He's been coming to that and he'll be here.
I believe Councillor Chief is in the same way.
Very long. Number two,
Well, probably, but that's the case. I think we could have a further discussion about the our roof. We will bring up a new disciple. I just question my council's got to spend money on investigating that one for national rights. Like we got limited resources in our own budget, why are we going to spend money on a national road?
I think the RMS has taken view that it's a driveway access into a property that hasn't happened to operate.
I have been able to operate, but been operating for 60 years, as I know of. How come all of a sudden, we're always putting back on the council to get back to the ability studies that should have done that 60 years ago? I don't think the council should really cost it.
Concerns about the traffic at that intersection coming from the council staff.
We're
not proposing to spend money this day, but just looking at options. It's just a consultation at this stage.
Well, I'm not going to back away from it, because I said there's money. But we've got to spend money here on the federal highway, or it's not only from the federal. I'd like to talk about the RSS report on the page or page 17 of the book. The stop on roads. That's the first part. Was that in this report? Come on, missed that opportunity or what? Because that's one I would like to ask for the best of
Information Centre withdraw any responsibility for accountability of the business and start a business in that without having hundreds of charities suddenly turn up and want their stuff there, which takes time away from the staff. And that policy around where our staff aren't responsible, a bit like the lines for the coin and the volume.
Yes,
I think we'll have more. that money disappeared into thin air. And that's what they have to do with the first year. That's what I'm talking about. I'm making that we keep adding a high water rate so that I have money to do with it. And that money is going to be enough to keep the money to pay our money from the banner.
I'm assuming you're referring to the outbreak of that motion with the coming in. In relation to that, the water fund is being sued on the money currently separately. So, you cannot transfer your money from the water fund to the sewage fund. Yeah, but now the basis is about sewage.
Questions everyone's lips have been away. They're a little bit excited about this report, but the question I get keep getting asked is how much is going to cost. And that's what people want to know. They all very good talking about it and planning, but people have been away. I don't know, how much is it going to cost? Is it going to cost $1,000 a year extra or waiver or whatever?
And I can't say that is every time.
10 years, and that was going to bring back something like between 20 and 40 dollars a year. And I think we'll compromise being that we could spread that over the time to bring years before pay through to us, just to make it slightly more digestible for the people down there. So there's all the 3 or 4 people up front that we can go to them. Is there one in there? This is for the study. Well, of course, I think that we have to be in the past of the experience that they have today. So, the fact that they have to start paying the original day for the hour is important. What I just thought, if you pay the $340 for the people minimum, if people minimum pay the $357 in unlock payments, then the available progress for 3 years will obviously put that $350.
In relation to phase 3 years that have been out to my patient in consultation first before council adopting it and how the residents have been on the charge.
Sell it to people a bit away. I want $360 because you might have to get a seller. Wouldn't it be better to talk to them? They're going to say, yeah, $360 because we might be able to get it. I think they want to know a little bit more than that before they put their hands in their pockets and pop up $360. Well, that's a lot of short of it, but you're going to ask them for $360 on we might, maybe.
The thing is, at this point,
we might be able to pay the money.
The phase 2 funding is $102,500 from the state government. The council is required to contribute $30,000.
I think we do that. Mr. Mayor, I think you're on the right track. 18 months, right, having a wholesaler for the feasibility. To find it out and get it up and running. You won't be able to sell it to charge people for something they can't see and haven't got. I'll move to be amended for this $20 per rate pay seller award. To get it up to the next stage. The Mandurah and Water Street, I think it was a very, very substantial amount. It wasn't just paid for by Mandurah and the kids going to school, from the school buses and the Fenway school, all of them will benefit from the back town service, not just the town. Going to sporting fixtures, going to the fence, going to the hall, going to the parlour, will make a very little town out of it.
That's my question. What is the legal requirement?
It won't be charged to those who have duly charged the group. You cannot charge final income to a charge as a cost of self-made. But you can feel a special name that they are going to be charged. When you put the sewage fund right up our way, what does that equate to?
I can't
follow up on this. Overall, what's the problem with my ability? Well, I see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
that you're debating in here at this point in time. There's no further debate on the agenda. The amendment, by my understanding, passes is basically points 1 through to 4 as written originally, with the exception of point 3 that the charge be attributed to all sewage receiving or disposal of sewage spinach and across the above.
Only question I ask is Ventura Water under control now? Or have you got someone working there that knows how to do it? Have you found all okay or what?
We've had trouble with the water supply scheme over the last couple of days. High humidity or high elevated between the hurdles, which is caused some hot. We did well to the disruption of what happened.
We can't, 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 we can
The local operator looks after the place 75% of the time. This is the word on the street. And the bloke is doing it, goes out of his way not to tell the people he knows they're getting in trouble. But if the local bloke's doing the job, the experts are coming and stumping it up. That's the word on the street.
Well, no, I don't understand
that. Can't even go on and talk to him. It's just a bit sad.
Or staff point of view and take a note, or is everybody just doing what they know? probably do really well anyway.
And how
I originally supported this motion, and are now looking at what the supply companies are doing around our area. We've got no chance that we would ever build one in our area because they're going to upgrade the line, so there's going to be no capacity to feed into our system at all. I don't think we've got enough waste to actually fit into the system, whereas before I did. But looking at what's going on, I think you need larger councils to be part of this. And we might be able to fit into one of their things, but I don't see why we should be now paying $15,000 to do the study. I think they'll get enough $15,000 around to and people that have got the capacity to take one of those plans on in the future. And I don't really think we do.
Just a quick question. I was reading on the World Forum site the other day in China, they're using cockroach farms for parenting. Is that the type of stuff that we're looking at, or only the
It's totally brilliant, and it's only the red bean, as far as I can remember, but as far as I can recall, it's only the red bean that they were, yeah, and we're not even being able to have a red bean yet.
Yeah, we might be
quite a lot of people to
And they're not looking at
other
alternative
solutions? Well, the solution here is that you'd make money out of it. That's what they're trying to do. And the way of making money, of course, was to feed into the grid when cows weren't close, you know, like at night or peak hour or all that sort of stuff. Because when we closed down these the big generators, we still didn't have the capacity to have anywhere near it. So this is just another idea that we could feed in.
What happened to the other one?
Just in regard to the water, they're not the fuel of the region. And case in point, we had 7 megalitres of water in Deer Bay. And we were not the way to the anyway, I'm just going to give a quote for how the council handled that, because the problem was identified that there's extra manganese in the water, wasn't it? And then there's a step taken to address that, and then I think that's been addressed, and water quality is improved. And I just, there's that instance that we had a baronet, we had a gentleman there who was telling us that he evaporated the water in the source, but it's all what was left in the bottom. I was trying to make the point that we'd rather do that in nitrogen content so we can get straight on the and I was made aware of something on Facebook recently where someone was complaining about the quality of water in the barrier. And again, I thought, well, that's not much beautiful because it doesn't get the problem solved. The problem gets solved in the content council and we get on. So, from the example, I saw what the action of the fellow community consultation did and how well that worked. Perhaps as a council we might be able to have a push on getting to people and saying, look, it's all very well sharing the capacity, but that doesn't get the problem solved. We get it all. We've got something else. We want to be able to stay away and turn to it. Is that something we want to be able to look at this in the media? I'll just say about the community meeting that did away with it.
Well,
got that on the head, I don't know if we can do
question too, how are we going with this? Have we have you got any nods or anything yet?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we haven't had the chance to get any applications in as yet. There'll be 8 applications and we'll put them in as they're completed so that we start getting some replies. Sorry? If councillors are happy with that. Can I, sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor, can I provide that via email? Is that all right? Yep. Yes. Through you, Mr. Mayor, RA relates to restricted assets. So for grant funded program at the end of a financial year, if they have some unspent funds, they go into restricted assets. And then if they need that, so supplementary votes often are requested out of restricted assets. So the request is to pull the funding back out of restricted assets to use for its initial purpose. So it restricts the funds or quarantines them so that they aren't used for something else, and then when they're ready to be used, they come back out of restricted assets. Does that make
sense? For example, the respect to the funding of the bank is something that was quite out of the track in this region. I noticed in this quarter there's a surplus of 13,715, which is actually through the RA column. So, enough to offset the loss that's been reported from last year. So, the viability of
So through you, Mr. Mayor, Family Daycare is receiving some additional funding this year for a project. So that additional income would relate to project funds. So that's $65,000 in this financial year for a project. So that's why their income will be up, because we received the funding for the project before we've expended that.
When it comes to lighting costs, capital lighting costs is a substantial one there for family daycare, as it seems to be applicable to other private centres, and the reason why such a significant IT cost for a business that doesn't really try out as much capital as well for their own engineering.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, at this stage, IT costs are consistent across the organisation, so it's an internal charge that's applied to everyone that has a desktop or a laptop or another type of workstation. So that covers off software charges and support and other items related to the provision of information technology. So everyone who has a workstation has that charge. So for family daycare, they have two workstations and they are the charges for that. Through you, Mr. Mayor, they're exclusively used for family daycare. So they have one workstation for the coordinator and one workstation for the administration officer.
So how many workstations through your other cost centers involved? Is that the general vary just that there are many workstations?
I don't have that in front of me, but Uluru, as with Wurrumbungu Community Care or any other children's service, would have the same charges applied to them as would the ANZ staff and Kevin staff as well. So it's an internal charge applied to anyone that has a workstation. Can you let me know what page you're on, Councillor?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the QBRS goes to that level of detail. I think you might have.
We are, through you, Mr. Mayor, along with Tamworth Regional Council, who is our information technology services provider, are doing an upgrade of our hardware requirements and our software requirements. So we envisage that hopefully that will result in either a cost reduction for everyone or a cost reduction for some services. As you've pointed out, Councillor and Nancy, children and community services probably have lesser needs in relation to technology than, for example, some of Kevin's staff who have higher needs in terms of the software they use, but also the storage. So we're actually going to look at an audit of how we use our systems and how different workstations should be paid for and therefore what impact that has on the budget. So. So are you looking at Part 8 capital expenditure? Part 7 capital. Okay, so the capital expenditure there for family daycare relates to the budget, and that budget for capital expenditure would be the upgrade of the vehicle. So Connect 5 also has a budget of $16,125 for the upgrade of their vehicle, same for community transport. So that's capital expenditure, not information technology. Yeah.
Information technology is
Yeah, so say for as an example, I know our Warrumbungal Community Care get charged for 7, so their costs would be up around $50,000, but that would be split across their different services that they provide. So, yeah, it's all about, I guess, how it appears in the budget. Thank you. Thank you.
Number one, the increase in unpaid rates for the outgoing vehicles, which is the best answer for review and reference.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It is early in the year, so it's not much so. Last financial year at this stage it was 12.1%, this financial year it's 12.36%, so it's on par. I guess we're yet to see what the impact, for example, the drought may have, and also, well, really it is the impact that the drought is going to have. So as I say, at this stage 12.1% in comparison to 12.36%.
The other one was the
very often,
got a budget more really well.
Three with me, yeah, that's money in transit. So we have some loans that we pay out of the NAB, so we put the money in just so it can be taken out, yeah, because we're obviously acknowledging that, yeah, we're not getting anything on that, so, but we have to put it in there to pay our loans.
Yes, we'll just like say for that time. So does this mean we all have to change back again? Yeah, I mean, I've got all these letters telling me that I'm not at that address anymore, and I used to say to them, if you think I live in Dandenong, you tell me what its postcode is, and no one could ever tell me that. So they told me that goodbye, Coonabarra. I reckon that's a backward step. So it's taken a long time, and I have no idea why we went the other way in the first place. And given that, we're just running it.
Thank you. So council wanted to look at extending all the opening hours of the court, and so we looked at that and utilising the principle of accessing the court with the season 2 hours, extending the current concepts that we have for lateralists, but also recognising that it's not perhaps not desirable from a risk point of view to have cruel open juveniles times that cruel students are less likely to be at cruel wanting to access the cruel. And also there's a recognition that during the end of summer, 6 o'clock rising times is not. Thank you. push out closing times from 7 PM discretion to close at 8 PM during those few weeks as well. With the lifeguard. So I think there are multiple of the six pools and there are six different farm tables open tonight. The new proposal attempts to rationalise and bring them all together and try to make a system across the open front. But I think with the new title, we've increased the availability of access to the pool by somewhere around 3%. The combination of allowing season ticket holders to access the pool, during the morning sessions and the early afternoon sessions. From 3 PM, generally during school term and during school holidays, we would be amazing to have a lifeguard at school time to the kids. There is quite a significant change in time travel, and so the proposal is at this stage to trial new time travel for three small pools. So when you receive when you pay for a season ticket, you're required to have a form in all the conditions on which you take an acceptance of a fee, and you're also required to list the family members of the form. There is an attendance book there now for the 6 AM to 8 AM service.
As proposed in this
If this works in the very small pools, I can see that would increase the demand for the season tickets. So we possibly need a pre-payment plans through winter to help those families spread the cost over all the same sites and maybe we can afford them to go and buy for the family at the beginning of the season. So just have that as a publicised option if this is successful. Shouldn't that just be part of the subdivision process? So it's done at the beginning. Obviously not, but shouldn't there be a procedure to be in place that this is all picked up at the beginning of the subdivision so we don't have these strange excesses that don't exist for subdivisions and they're doing it 15 years later? This seems course of Bolton.
You can answer that question about the water supply and state. Better off versus not going there.
Streams where so the cattle does have some legs, like it's supposed to have the light going to them. The transport strategy is much more than this, those two types of claims. So I don't see right public access, public transport rather. From what I can see, transport strategy is particularly important for those major centres, rural districts, as you mentioned, Mobile and Cessnock, where our demands on existing infrastructure, whether it's air drones, roads, public transport, where demands are driven by population. Even important to those types of areas. I suppose it's also particularly important. But you have to ask whether that type of strategy is required for a long run of time. Having said that, there are transport issues as well. Such as the Kimberley project, we also talked in the past about what's the long-term future of road transport through Port, is the existing truck route down in the Portland. So, but having said that, we are now, one of us now part of a joint organisation, yes. And one of its objectives is to make regional plans. So it would seem that government there's no budget limitations to the mayor with this recommendation.
Just one. Some years ago, I think we all put $15,000 in or something to a plan to the Humphrey Center.
Yes.
And we came in with that.
So yeah, that's right. So I'm not sure if it's $15,000 or what. Now, the council has over the years contributed towards road strategies and transitioning from transport strategies. So yeah, not on our Gerard Humphrey's table office. He commanded the idea for a Western Region road strategy. That's a document that's still in use and still gets pulled out in the form of my proposal. So it's a pretty good document. I'm not sure that we're seeing a lot of benefit in terms of funds for one of the Shire. It is.
That document has no dust on it.
Yeah, well, I just put in my top resources. We've got a book towards this anyway. This flies can get bigger and bigger all the time. The measure starts in or something. Takes the wires, takes the cost. And we haven't got a borrowing piece of money. I'm behind the boundary with our runs program as it is.
And as the member said, the East Bay Provider is now the rest of the
world. It's pretty hard to tell the public when I listen to the recording of many of those minutes where we do the road strategy when we say that's that far behind with our roads work.
Let's talk about the size of the around the organization.
I know that, but the general public is going to believe that we're spending our money on talking about it and not doing it.
Can I just find out that the way the joint organisation has worked is we put out resources. It's not maybe there'll be one engineer will run the whole process, the others will put in whatever they can to contribute to it. And usually it's very cost effective the way they that's why we've been board the scheme with the other councils that are in the open. And so it's been beneficial to small councils like ourselves to hook up to the shirt types of the big councils and use what the information that they've paid for just satisfy what the government wants of us.
As we really want to the big councils, we want
to follow the rock. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about the job. I'm talking about that role. Yeah, just as it's in. These 103 are the reserves that will be passed on to us. And there are other trust groups looking after Crown Reserves. Do they have to do the same thing? Write plans?
There's some
personal plans
already
for
Crown Reserves. So there's some plans and
management
plans that follow
the Crown Reserves. And of the same calibre as the ones that we obviously have to write. Would that be? Okay, and the other question is $89,982. Is it going to go to a year?
Thank you.
for the on-drive for the developers and the transactions.
Yes, I'm disappointed there isn't an appendix attached to it that lists all the ideas that were generated in the community meetings across the shore. There was a very good idea that we generated that aren't actually in that plan, or the more directly worded as such in the plan. And for example, when Warrnambool was first in the community strategic plan, it included the little book of ideas with all comments from all the 60 odd meetings across the shore in the very first public consultation. And so you can go back to that. Some of them are right out of the field, which is fine, but there are others that have got a good substance around them. That's the type of thing I think we need to see with this as well. So we can go back and look at the ideas and how they can be linked across the shore. So I think that's missing in the plan, and also the consultant manager. I just like to see a list of all of those added to it because, like all plans, it's a lot of good stuff. We don't get the intel that came out of the direct consultation we need that connects with the ideas generated in the public consultation.
So, as a paper, we'll move the part of point one into the line that you need to be included.
Yes, the appendix.
So can I just ask there was one public exhibition right now, is it 28 days? No. I read it last night, as a matter of fact, and I think it just repeats itself over and over again. The same sort of stuff is there.
Which is the previous one did, which we asked that it not do.
Yeah.
And reports like to repeat themselves.
And the other thing that I saw was the statistics that were there from you know, about population. Fairly old ones. You know, I don't think that's up to date. And why don't they make the comment on them that when they say the Coolers population has increased and Coonabarabran has dropped, Coolers population increased because they increased the size of the county area. And Coonabarabran has decreased because I was in Dandenong all of a sudden where I was always in Coonabarabran. We counted separately and not added together. So, you know, like, it makes it sound like we're dead ducks as we go into the future. You know, like, some towns increase. I mean, remember Binaway, and you would remember all the past. Binaway, they had the hype to go to the paper and say, because there was something that says 200 people increase in Binaway. And Larry told me, he turned around and said, no, the demand on housing is just so great, we haven't got the supply. All it was they moved the count area, and nobody moved in. It's just a bigger count area, you know what I mean? So it was just all wrong, and the statistics she's brought up are those sorts of statistics, and they need to be qualified again, you know, like, because
Thank you.
Yeah.
correction, but I'm just, my point is going to be a bit harder. But I don't think that I'm afraid of it. I don't think that I want to do today, but when the council was making that, they did a week in advance, and my comment was just, it's hard for us to provide direction if we, you know, starting off the post point today, if I started.
I think that's my hold on for that. The issue is that he's moved, since the closing of the variety of business plates, and all of the time we have been able to move a little bit of the amount of time.
So, probably, yeah, critical is an observation that it's hard to provide.
No, I don't think it's
worthwhile. I'd like to ask a question. Has council got involved with family daycare and old mining centres and so on and so forth? Who have told us the general manager or the synopsis council? It's nothing to do with the council orders. The only there the council was there to administer. It wasn't done at all around one of the budget or whatever. Completely no cost. And now they're asking councillors for their opinion and asking us to spend money. What's the go? Was the power that enough to do it, Council, initially?
There are many places across the state over the requirement of the use of the operating team, and they have been spending and other things that have been done out there, like the Lord of the Bush, and mobile last day of the days. And over a period of time, those fees have been amalgamated and transferred to other areas, and we've now seen a number of I think in the last year, and after you have to apply something like 30% across the state.
Yeah, 34%.
34% across the state.
The problem is that the average ratepayer subsidising the services put there by the state government, there was nothing to do with it. The local ratepayer was completely independent of council, day cost. And, you know, the state government's going to come along and pick up the cost of it, because why should the rent pay that?
Do we still have a service for it? Yeah, we won't have a chance to read this at actually for most of the day, but what's on the ground? I didn't think we had anyone left. I thought it was all over, and we're going to pick up the scraps. Is that right or wrong?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So we had 10 educators and they have all given us verbal or written notification that they will no longer require the services of Castlereagh Family Daycare as their approved provider. We have one that is retiring at the end of January. So that's the others have all given notice as of the end of this year, and there's a new educator that would like to commence in Coonamble.
So in that show, we've got no business or where they go.
Since August this year, we have been showing no support at all. Last week, we were contacted to see when we were resigning. No one has asked what they can do for us. No. Like, not one person. I provide care for 18 families in Gawler. But nobody has come and said, what can we do? Like, what is the problem? So,
council today.
Come and see us. We're aware of the library, which I think is an over in Shrine, any interest at all. I have all sorry, but since August, we've been having to the council to provide us a service. Since August this year, I've seen something once, but I pay my bills every single week. And I'm not alone, obviously, we're all the same. We're all, you know, we're all talking and we're all being doing the same.
We've got to provide direction. I think the direction's already been set, isn't it? I've got one question. I do you want to repeat me?
Yeah.
But I don't. I would imagine the direction has been set. Because everyone has resolved what's happening. And looking at the finances now, if we get one person in there, we have to provide one full time position to look after this service. So there's not many directions we can go, is there?
I don't have the particular date, but yes, we did. There were changes to service approval, through you, Mr. Mayor, for family daycare services that specified how many staff had to, so an educator to staff coordinator ratio, and we were given a ratio of 1 to 15. Yeah, so that means that if we have one educator, we need to have a full-time coordinator if we have 15. But obviously the fees and charges that are coming in. So fees and charges, as Beck said, she pays a fee to Castlereagh Family Daycare, and parents also pay a fee, and then we get funding. So the fees from the educators and also the parents are dependent on enrolments. So less services, less children, less fees and charges.
Have you spoken with the department about how unrealistic the ratio is for our children?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't believe that the ratio is unrealistic. We accepted the ratio that was given to us. Other ratios are 1 to 25 or 1 to 60. If we had...
If you've only got 6, can't you discuss having a part-time
as opposed to full-time? No, it's not a pro rata basis. It's, yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood the question, Councillor Cable. Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, no, it's not on a pro rata basis, which, yeah, is unfair, but I guess at the time they were basing it on some historical information, but also what we had at the time. Yeah. But it is challenging to make a service viable, yeah, based on that.
I think the Ryans have been here for quite some time with the government's action plans in the corporate world. Yes, this has been one of the ways that they're trying to use these fee models. In part, to protect the, I think it was 30% reduction in fees over the last 4 months of the government. That's been well achieved. So going on from that. The reason why the way that they've changed the training market is because they have had a number of implications, as I understand, from one of the supervisors to the parents or your counselor, as to what those changes are to inform them of what's happening going forward for the staff change. And you know, a lot of they've shown in months or back.
Is there a chance of having a meeting with all the providers, including the ones that have also resigned, to see if there is a pathway forward?
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, it was going to be challenging moving forward. As I said, there is a educator in Gilgandra who is retiring and had told us at the beginning of the year that they were retiring. There's also an educator in Coonabarabran who gave her notice back in October, and it is my understanding that there's a further educator who has taken up a number of other employment opportunities. So we're going to be down to 7 as it was, and in my memo to councillors last week I did address whether I felt at that stage we hadn't received some of the notifications, and I addressed whether or not we felt we could operate with, at that stage it was 6 educators, and based on the information that was included in that, and only because of the generous funding that we applied for and have received for this financial year, we potentially could have made it work for that 6 months, and then we, during that 6 months, we would have had to work with the educators in terms of either building the service or looking at them finding alternate providers anyway. So through you, Mr. Mayor, in the report I've provided, and I understand that some councillors may not have had time to read it, we did identify that there are 3 other providers who operate So who could be potentially approved providers that could service their family daycare services, because councillors are reminded that it is not just Warrumbungle Shire, we also service Gilgandra and Canamble. So educators are free to choose who they go with, and you'll notice there's a coast-wide family daycare service that does provide services out this way. So there are other options for educators to receive that support.
Is there a way that council can help facilitate those
introductions if we want to add into our service? Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that we would need to facilitate those introductions. So, family daycare educators can choose their approved provider, and they would be aware of who they are, and I think some of them would have informal relationships with the other services. So there's a lot of information on the Family Daycare Australia website about for educators about how to choose your provider. So yeah, I don't know that would be a role of council. Educators are independent businesses, and they have been paying council to provide a service to them, and they've chosen to pay someone else to provide that service to them in the future.
Yes, I'm concerned, Mr. Mayor, that this discussion was narratively revealing to that balance, and I think it's unfortunately making it look like this situation is caused by the educators, and the situation is caused by state government and federal government direction. When what I think quite a few of us around the table are in fact hearing is that it's a problem that's been found within this council, not from these outside factors. The narrative seems to indicate that somehow these government policies that are letting us down, somehow the educators and their inability to meet standards is letting us down. However, if you look at it in another way, it appears that we as a council are able to provide adequate support, and that the support is in fact what leads to poor numbers and poor presentations, supposedly I'm not in agreement with that. And as much as we hear complaints that, oh well, we have to supply all this sort of service for certain educators, well, the counter argument would be, well, why do we have more for encouragement educators? We've got areas like Barrington and Mildura and Anwell and places that border our council that are crying out for this sort of service if we don't have them, which is a serious opportunity to find it on the media market. We can do it for something to come to that is making us money, we could have created a lot of social capital for the council. We would have most importantly provided childcare options for women who want to have a job. And that, as we all know, around this table is something that is very hard for women at work in the Shire. I hear time and time again, women just cannot look at the options of employment available in the Shire because they can't get the reasonable childcare options. So if we could have been, I guess, better at managing this business, we would have helped plenty of the children and others involved, parents involved, we would have helped small businesses in the Shire that could have managed this or something. And instead we have this difficult situation whereby we're going to lose small businesses, we're going to lose the social capital that's bonded with this, and we really look like we're unable to manage what should be a relatively simple service to manage. This is not working well. I think it's because very poorly by our management, and I think if this is how we manage such a simple service, we have to ask the question how we're managing more complex services. I think the council is about every part of the situation, and I don't think we're in a position to make a decision today. If we're there in this room, we're making our
also the other issue with that is service people have done some work with other organisations for whatever reason. We then have a lot of children in care that don't have that hospital quality as well. Because if they don't want to work, they're going to have to find a permanent solution to place their kids somewhere during the last long time.
Now, I'd like to back up what Bella is saying, because as I initially said, I was always thinking of the child care, that was up to do with council, I was taking no interest in it. As from a council point of view or an administration point of view, I strongly believe what Bella said, that it, council can't bend chapel centres out. They're not guarded up for the money. I'd like to see from the table a bit more information and a bit more so you might fully understand what we're talking about at the moment. Okay,
thank
you. Well, depending on we don't meet in January call this Monday, is that the appropriate time. I mean, it's probably meeting or we'll
be in this ordinary meeting, but we have had this every minute.
This is you're inviting the child carers as well, maybe, or not, what's going on here. What's showing this when it comes
to? Well, I think we need further go to the group. That's where I should have started. We received a report today, I understand the reason for it all, being a state, but if that is understood, that's a bit hard.
We're not losing all these small businesses. They just don't gather enough supply. So that's up to here, that we're not losing small business. I'm very disappointed too, because I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, the educators used to put on a morning tea, so the councillors could go on. Councillors didn't go because they don't have like little kids or something. When I had my grandfather, I used to go to these things, and I thought they were fantastic to go on. And but what happened, something happened that we lost all of a sudden 28 to 10. You know, what was that? Yeah, like, and I know that some of the women that was on the educator, we talked to on that day, would say things like, it's getting too hard. You know, like, I got a cracked window and I got this happened and that happened, you know, like, and we're thinking of putting a screen in front of the chat, ridiculous. You know, like, the government changed the rules so much that the educators were becoming frightened. And I'm not saying that that's why we lost 18, it might have been, you know, something else effect, but I've been following this sort of thing from, when we first got on council, when we used to approve the payments. Everyone's like, look how much money she makes. Yeah, like all this sort of stuff had come out. And then they stopped councillors seeing the check marks and became a secret. But this is an interesting it's been going on a long, long time. And it just worries me as well that we're from 28 to 10 so quickly. Do we know what?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, a number of years ago, they got a lot stricter on family daycare. So in terms of what was required of the educators in regards to their education, but also in regards to a lot of other legislative requirements. So that number of educators did actually, I think, and I wasn't here at the time, but I do know as a sector, there was a huge drop in because, yeah, it wasn't viable for them anymore. So it's excellent that 10 did continue and the numbers over time have fallen. But yeah, and I take Councillor Nitz's point, that it isn't only external factors, that have contributed to what has happened, but it is a huge part of what has happened. And, as Roger said earlier, and I think I mentioned in this report or another report I provided, in the last 12 months, there's been a reduction of 34.56% of family daycare educators in New South Wales. So as a sector, the educators are feeling it. Ellen Mann, when she addressed council at the last council meeting, talked about a reduction of funding around $1.5 billion for the family daycare sector. So, yeah, the federal government really is, sort of honing in a bit. And I think what I just said earlier about the conditions on all the service approvals, well, that's another way of limiting the number of educators. And, so in one way, Councillor Capel mentioned the quality of care. So, in the latest assessment and rating, it's a new system and they're looking to improve the quality of care. But on the other hand, they are putting more and more onto the educators and it is just making it more and more difficult to run these services. So, yeah, as a sector, it is very much under threat. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, off the top of my head, what will Gunnedah have that would make it easier? Perhaps they're not a council, so they wouldn't pay the same types of salaries and wages that we do. They might have a high number of educators, so I'm not sure what their educator ratio is, but obviously we're operating at 1 to 15. They might have been operating at, I'd say, 1 to 25, perhaps. Other services, operate at mainly 1 to 15, 1 to 25. If all their services are in Gunnedah, that would be easier for them. So for us, obviously, cost is a huge travel. Travel is a huge cost, to mix my words up. So for us to service three shires, so if I think it's, can't even think of the size, that obviously takes time, which takes money, which it costs to have, a vehicle and things like that. So, off the top of my head, there probably a few of the advantages that Gunnedah has. Yep.
Are there any other shires
to run? Through you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, that's okay. Well, there are a number of shires to running family daycare in New South Wales. Yeah. No, so in the whole state of New South Wales, there are 35 councils that are still running family daycare, and they run 40 services. So, for example, Albury runs one in New South Wales and one in Victoria, but it's all serviced by Albury. Off the top of my head, I can't remember how many of those are in regional New South Wales, but when you look at it, it tends to be larger centres, so Dubbo, Tamworth, Midwestern, Orange Mathers, Sorry, is the numbers going? Yes.
Well, along those lines, I think it's right there, the numbers go, and I think it's hard to be sure of 115 in the year for that. The four data is only 5-6, I think that's pretty cool, the numbers in 4 million by 3. And I don't know the rules, but if that's something we might be able to take up, might be and we're on the challenge to try and get a change, but is it something we can address with the local government? It's amazing the way it's pretty tough on people like this. There's others going ahead to make an island or anything like that.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, we have heard of other services, for example, Orange Family Daycare, which is run by their council, who are looking at innovative ways of providing that support, for example, via Skype or things like that, and that is something we had raised with the nominated supervisor, whether that would be more efficient. I think the department doesn't look kindly on that. They want the nominated supervisor to attend and see the educators and provide the support on site and have a look at their environments in person, and so it is making it hard. The other challenge we would have faced in terms of what you were saying, Councillor Doolan, was if, for example, we had 15 educators and we went to 16, that would be another full-time educator would be required. So, yeah, it was always going to be a balancing act. And as Roger said earlier, we've been balancing for a number of years. And, yeah. We could, through you, Mr. Mayor, we could think that whether or not we could provide quality support, and as you've heard from the educators, there are some concerns about the support that had been provided when we were 1 to 10, so to take on a challenge of 1 to 25 across the three shires that we have, I think would be incredibly challenging.
So we currently the new regime, so I think that's incredibly unfair for community property, and that would be for the under 1.6 on that. So you know, that makes it sound.
Yeah, and so you, Mr. Mayor, we did have that discussion when, as Roger said, formerly the nominated supervisor did work across a couple of services, and that obviously helped to make both our services, the three services that they worked across, more viable and sustainable. And so, and they were also, please stop me if I'm treading too far into anything, employed part-time, and so we did speak to the department when we got this new service approval, and you know, did all the can we keep them on this, can we, and they said no, one full-time educator on that service. Oh, sorry, one full-time coordinator, sorry for that.
What's the expectation of the coordinator to visit all this erosion in those months? In a couple of months, we've only got 10.
Was the it is my understanding, and sorry, I don't have it in front of me, as per the delivery program, once every 6 weeks. Yeah, so what the nominated supervisor would try and do is when they went to GIL, try and visit the four educators in GIL. So try and get some efficiencies that way, because obviously travel is a huge cost in terms of not only travel but in terms of time. So sometimes that was a bit of a challenge to get those four visits in the one day, but in our conversations with the department, and as has been highlighted by some of the educators, probably a high level of support is actually required. So we'd commenced some planning with the temporary coordinator about putting together a calendar for visits next year that were more based on once a month. So through you, Mr. Mayor, it depends on where the educators are located. So we did have a group in GIL, but over time we have had educators in Mendoran, Canamble, Coola, obviously, and Kuna. I think that's all in the last few years. Yeah, so it depends, and as I say, it depends. So there's a regime of reassessments that educators do every 12 months. So if it's that visit, it's more. If there's particular things that are going on, you know, you would need longer visits. So yeah, always challenging. And then obviously that time you spend out of the office, you know, achieving things in the office. So yeah, it was always a pretty challenging visiting regime from my understanding.
Thank you. Matters of possible litigation. I don't have the actual call number of one
communities have awards, we don't want to double up. So if we can go as early as we can, so that I think they, the meetings come on from the Senate onwards, and they, something like that, community meeting. So we have to go beforehand so that they know not to choose out people to.
Thank you very much.